Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hello.
The musical life and death of a chocolate city. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a new book tells the story of go-go, Washington, D.C.'s homegrown funk style. Plus, a live performance from the Mina Birds. Now, it's really rare when you can point to a single person at a single place and time and say, there, that's where this style started. But with go-go, that's exactly what we can do. This guitarist, Chuck Brown, created the percussion-heavy sound with his band The Soul Searchers in D.C. in the mid-70s, and the Capitol has been dancing ever since. Chuck Brown passed away on Wednesday at the age of 75. Author Natalie Hopkinson has written an upcoming book called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. And she joins us from the studios of WAMU in D.C. to talk about Chuck Brown's legacy and the history of go-go. Natalie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks so much for having me.
How is D.C. reacting to the news today?
Well, I think that people are, surprisingly for a man who was 75 years old, people are in absolute shock because he was so viral. He liked to wear his shirt off. He was really strappy with muscles, and He just went, and it really didn't seem possible that there would be a D.C. without Chuck Brown in it.
Now, isn't there kind of a tradition of large public funerals for go-go figures?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, Lil Benny, who was one of Chuck's mentees, passed away, and there was a massive funeral for him that the city put on at the convention center. There were about 7,000 people that came to mourn him. So I can't even imagine how big the funeral will be for Chuck.
All right. So for those of us who are not native to the D.C. area, tell us who Chuck Brown was. Why was he important?
Chuck Brown was the leader of Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers. He was a singular figure in Washington, D.C. and its music scene for basically his whole life. And he created the go-go sound at a place in Washington, D.C., a club called the Maverick Room in the 1970s. It was around 1976 when he developed the sound. And he sort of lit the spark that created a whole industry of fashion. Network of clubs. There's a whole industry that's gone around go-go music that stemmed from the music that he created.
Now, in interviews, Chuck Brown said that he was inspired to create this style by the heavy groove of this song by Grover Washington Jr., a song called Mr. Magic. So Chuck Brown, the late Chuck Brown, took this kind of jazz funk fusion that Grover Washington Jr. had recorded, and with his own band, the Soul Searchers, he took that funk sound and added lots of percussion to create go-go. Brown and the Soul Searchers, We Need Some Money, the irrepressible sounds of go-go, which Chuck Brown started In D.C. in the mid-70s, as Natalie Hopkinson describes in her forthcoming book, Go Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. Natalie, what was it about Chuck Brown? Again, he died on Wednesday. He was 75. You said that even though he was 75, he was really vital. People really, you know, kind of thought he would, like the music, just keep going and going. What was it that made him such a beloved figure there?
Well, his love for the people, you could just feel it. I was talking to a photographer who was documenting his life in the last few months, and he talked about a gig that he was doing just in January where the other musicians were ready to leave, but he refused to leave before he signed every single autograph of every single person who wanted one. And, you know, for a 75-year-old man, you know, to be doing that at 2 o'clock in the morning, I mean, it's a real testament to what kind of love that he had for the people and his generosity and human spirit.
So is go-go more than just a style of music? I mean, is there a kind of a culture that has grown up around it there in the D.C. area?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a sound, and there's certain like basic elements, like the conga drums. That's how you know that it's go-go. But it actually can sound like many different styles. It can be sort of funky. It could be more reggae. Some of the newer go-go is more punk-like. But you know, the thing that's significant that I write about in the book is that the network, the economic network that sustains it. So you're talking about record stores, you're talking about club venues, and you're talking about a whole fashion industry. You have DC-based fashion lines like We Are One, Madness, Hobo, Shooters. Every single neighborhood has a clothing line that, you know, that basically is the uniform when you go to the Go-Go's. And they were really huge and for many, many years. So, like I said, he lit a spark that entrepreneurs in the city have just run with ever since. And that's what sort of made it so entrenched in D.C.
Mm-hmm. So it became kind of one of the economic engines of some of these neighborhoods. And I guess, could you tell what neighborhood you were in from the clothing that people were wearing?
Yes, you could. And if you go, you know, if you wore a hobo, that meant that you, you know, you're representing Southeast. Uh-huh. And if you wear We Are One, then it's more you know, uptown, you know, the Shaw area. Shooters was Northeast. I mean, and it's sort of, yeah, that's absolutely the way that it was. And, you know, it's a way that Washingtonians sort of silently can acknowledge each other as native Washingtonians and, you know, by through this, the clothing styles. And, you know, it's all linked into the music.
So the music sort of linked in the audience as well. It seems that one of the real, in addition to, you mentioned the congas and the percussion-heavy sound, but one of the identifying characteristics is this kind of really deep-in-the-pocket kind of call-and-response thing between the musicians on stage and the audience out in the club.
Yeah, it's always said that in go-go, the audience is part of the band. And so you don't have, unless the audience is doing their part and responding to the hand signs and the different dances, call and response dances, chants, you know, they're calling out different neighborhoods, crews, you know, everybody has a call name and, you know, you're looking for a shout out, especially for your birthday, you know, so the lyrics are, they're sort of collaboratively created between the artists that are on stage and the audience that's off stage.
So
that's also what makes it real sticky.
And would you say that a go-go band has a lead singer, or do you say they have a lead talker?
They have a lead talker. So Chuck is considered a lead talker, even though he also sang. But in most, that's one of the structures of go-go bands. You have a lead talker. So Big G of Backyard Band, Polo of TCB Band, these are lead talkers that their jobs, they're sort of like the MCs. They call people out. You know, they acknowledge the important people in the room and the people who are their most devoted fans. And then you probably will have a rapper, too, and you'll have vocalists. I mean, if you go to a go-go show, you're going to find like 10 people on stage that are part of that are part of the band.
We're speaking with Natalie Hopkinson. Her forthcoming book is called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. And 1986, this was the go-go band Rare Essence live at Breeze's Metro Club. And a bit of what Natalie was talking about, a roll call.
Stacy and Doogie, y'all. Lisa and the world, y'all.
That is Rare Essence, recorded live at Breeze's Metro Club in D.C. And Natalie, I can't help but notice that all the people he's calling out there were ladies.
Well, I think he had a good mix.
Did the dudes not get called out?
Oh, no, they got called out, too. There was a good mix there in the audience. And actually, for my book, I have a transcription of that performance. And it was done by someone who was 18 at the time and remembered very vividly that night. And right after that show, Rare Essence got on the road and went to Detroit to film a video with Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
So this was like 1986 was right when go-go was near the peak of its popularity. And it actually was equivalent to hip hop as far as its popularity in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Did you
so
ever...
people didn't know whether hip hop would last, but they figured go-go was here to stay.
Well, I want to follow up on that. But first... did you ever get a shout out from the stage?
Well, I did. Well, I actually came into the scene as a reporter. I was a writer for the style section of the Washington Post. And then I was an ethnographer at the University of Maryland, College Park. So I've sort of been not of the community necessarily, but they have sort of embraced me. And so I have gotten shout outs from folks. But it's considered sort of a birthright. If you live in D.C., you have to get your birthday shout out. And if you can get the recording, then it's super valuable.
All right. So now let me follow up, because your book is called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. So after 1986, everyone's thinking go-go is here to stay. Was it there to stay? What's happening now?
I'd say it's still here to stay. I mean, that's one of the most encouraging things. You know, if there's anything positive to be taken with the loss that we've had with Chuck Brown, is that there is a vibrant, vibrant scene. Unfortunately, it's not in the city itself, because the city is, we've seen some of the most aggressive gentrification in the whole country in D.C. So a lot of the old spaces that were go-go filled, you know, the go-go's infrastructure was there is literally being dismantled throughout the city.
So it's now in the suburbs, like in Maryland and places like that?
Yep, it's mostly in Maryland, in Prince George's County and even southern Maryland, St. Mary's.
And has it changed
Virginia.
The music?
Well, the music has evolved, and there's actually a lot of controversy over the new go-go sound, which is called bounce beat. Mm-hmm. Some go-go purists don't consider it real go-go. It's less melodic, and to me, it has the congas, you've got the rototoms, you have the layer, you've got all the elements of go-go, but it's got that punk sound that I mentioned earlier. It's much more it's very aggressive, and you know, the dancing is very athletic and aggressive too.
And when the backyard band, this is the one that the actor Anwan Glover from the HBO show The Wire he's the lead talker for this one, right?
Yep.
Under the name Big G. Let's hear him and the rest of the backyard band with Tear the Club Up. And that's about as much of the backyard band as we can play on a family show. Tear the Club Up, featuring lead talker Big G, who you may know as Anwan Glover. He played the character of Slim Charles on the HBO series The Wire, and is the lead talker for the band that Natalie was talking about, called the Backyard Band, one of the most popular go-go groups in D.C. today. The style founded by Chuck Brown. Chuck Brown passed away on Wednesday at the age of 75, and Natalie, probably worth pointing out that go-go wasn't always about writing new songs. Sometimes Chuck Brown would take earlier songs and transform them, sort of go-go-fy them, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, it's very much in the jazz tradition of doing covers and making it into your own. And so, you know, even a lot of the radio hits, like when Chuck first started off, before he started the Soul Searchers and developed the go-go sound, he played with a band called Los Latinos. Hmm. And that was a Latin-style band that they used to interpret top 40 radio hits. But they would sort of give it like a little salsa flavor to it. And so that's basically the template for go-go now, even today. They do a lot of covers. A majority of the songs that you'll hear night after night are covers.
Well, in fact, the late Chuck Brown took a famous piece by another D.C. native, Duke Ellington, and his It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, and turned it into this, It Don't Mean a Thing If It Don't Have the Go-Go Swing.
It don't mean a thing if you don't got the go-go swing. You go do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop. It don't mean a thing if you don't got the go-go swing. You go do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop. All right, hit it one time.
In a moment, we continue our conversation with Natalie Hopkinson. She's author of Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of the Chocolate City. And then later, a live performance from the Mina Birds frontwoman Laura Burhan. Stay with us. This is Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
I'm John Schaefer. We've been speaking about the late D.C. legend Chuck Brown and the local music culture that he started, Go-Go. Speaking with us is Natalie Hopkinson, author of the forthcoming book, Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of the Chocolate City. And we are hearing Chuck Brown's Bustin' Loose. This was his biggest commercial hit. It spent 4 weeks on top of the R&B charts in 1979. The song came back a few decades later as a sample for the 2002 song Hot in Here by the hip-hop artist Nelly. So, Natalie, it's a bit of reflected glory for Chuck Brown there, Nelly sampling his big song, Bustin' Loose. Is that as close as Go-Go ever got to mainstream success?
Well, that was probably the pinnacle. There have been other national hits like Debut, which was from Spike Lee's film School Days. That's what most people are familiar, who aren't familiar with Go-Go. That's the go-to one. And although that's, you know, that's, purists would say that's maybe not, you know, strictly a go-go song, but that's pretty close. Wale, the rapper Wale, covered another go-go song called Pretty Girls, which that was a huge, huge DC hit. It ruled the radio for a long time, and then he covered it in his first album. And, you know, that also did what that thing that charted nationally as well. But for the most part, not so much. I mean, it's mostly a live music scene.
Right.
It's not a recording scene.
So you mentioned Debut, which was not Chuck Brown. That was EU. And that hit number 35 on the Billboard Top 100 in 1988 after it was featured, as Natalie says, in Spike Lee's film School Days.
Yeah.
and somehow that is deemed appropriate for a family show. Debut from EU and 1988 hit for them. So, you know, a glimpse of go-go on the national scene. Natalie Hopkinson talking with us about the late Chuck Brown, the founder of Go-Go, her book called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. Natalie, where did that nickname, Chocolate City, for Washington, D.C., come from?
That actually was a name that was popular. I think it was popularized by local radio. But then George Clinton came out with an album in 1976 called Chocolate City.
Mm-hmm. And with, it was with a the song of the same name.
Yes, and it was a tribute to the Chocolate City where he had some of his most devoted fans, and you know, the it had just elected a black mayor for the first time, and you know, so it was sort of this song that looked at you know, the political strides that had been made in Washington, D.C. as a majority black city.
Now, Go-Go, you mentioned before how it became part of, it wasn't just a style of music, there was a whole economy that grew up around it, the clubs, the fashion. What about, you know, there was kind of a flip side to that. There was association with crime, with criminal activity. That had a kind of a wider impact right into the ranks of the police force, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. A couple years ago, the local police department they were sort of marking the point that D.C. stopped becoming the murder capital. The murders had been on an all-time low, and one of the things that they attributed to their success in lowering the crime rate was that they had this thing, the Go-Go Report. And that was basically a list of all the shows that were going on, and the police were outside doing surveillance on these places. And so, you know, so it was sort of a way for them to say that that's, you know, I felt it was a lot of scapegoating of the music. Mm-hmm. The music really tells what's happening in the city. So it's not divorced from the larger society and larger societal problems that are there. D.C. had a serious crack epidemic in the 80s, and that music, that was reflected in the music because it's telling you what's happening. So if the city is hurting, then the music is hurting. And so, you know, and unfortunately, the music kind of got singled out as a cause for a lot of the ills.
All right, so the Go-Go Report, something that the D.C. police force said was at least in part responsible for lowering that crime rate, that murder rate. Mm-hmm. Let me read you a couple of comments from some of our listeners on the Soundcheck webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Platypus Darren from Astoria, Platty as we've taken to calling him around the studio, writes, pound for pound, Chuck Brown's Bustin' Loose is still one of the best dance tracks ever for getting wallflowers out on the floor. No one can resist. And Chase writes, so glad you're covering Go-Go. As a Baltimore native and later a D.C. resident, this music was part of the soundtrack of my youth. Talk about the 80s film Good to Go and the Go-Go versus hip-hop concerts that used to tour and the Go-Go influence in hip-hop and R&B, like Jill Scott's music. So what about, I mean, you mentioned the Spike Lee movie, which brought us that EU song. What about the film Good to Go?
Well, that was an interesting part of the book. That was a film, Island Records, in the early 80s, after Bob Marley passed away. They were looking for a new sound to globalize and take global, as they had done for reggae. So their method for doing that was they had a film called The Harder They Come that really broke open reggae. And so they said, okay, well, we're going to do a film for Go-Go. And so that's the film they did, Good to Go. They brought in a British director to do it, and unfortunately, it was bad. like, it was criminally bad, and it was very offensive, very stereotypical black people in crime, and, you know, it was just sort of Welcome to the Jungle, sort of a portrayal of D.C. that everyone hated, critics, everyone alike. So that didn't go so well. But they at Island did have a relationship with Spike Lee, and so they had invited Spike to come to a show in D.C., I think featuring EU, and that was when he decided he wanted to have them in his next movie. So even though he eventually did, Spike did the movie through Columbia Records, he still stuck with including the go-go bands. And so he had a lot more success in trying to translate the go-go sound for a wider audience.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me read another comment. Neil in Vero Beach, Florida. Talk about Trouble Funk a bit, another amazing go-go band out of D.C. A lot of these bands, you've already alluded to this, Natalie, we can talk about them. We can't necessarily hear a lot of them, right? Because this is a live music as opposed to a recorded kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Now, I do talk a lot about the recordings, but they're live recordings, so they're not meant to be studio recording. So even for the backyard band clip that you saw, mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that sort of distinguishes the newer generation of go-go from Chuck Brown. He was a studio artist as well as a live artist, and so he had there was a lot of polish to the sort of sound that he created. The a lot of the younger bands, they are strictly concert artists, mm-hmm. so it doesn't translate as well. So, translate as well.
Where would you put Trouble Funk in that?
Trouble Funk actually in that wave in the mid '80s. They also had some success as well. They were included in the movie Good to Go, and they also had a deal with. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, Def Jam.
Oh, okay.
They also had a deal with Def Jam, who had signed a wow. bunch of go-go artists at the time. So, you know, they did really well there, and their popularity wasn't sustained abroad or, you know, outside D.C.
Well, I guess that is, you know, we've been talking about Chuck Brown, this remarkable sort of musical hero there in D.C., whose legacy really seems to still have been confined to a few, you know, kind of tapped in listeners around the country, but mostly there in D.C. Is that what his legacy will be as a kind of like the ultimate regional musical artist?
Well, Chuck also has a pretty strong national and international following. I mean, he played in all of the European jazz festivals, so he's on the jazz circuit.
Mm.
So they actually Miles Davis stole a few of his musicians.
That's kind of the ultimate compliment, isn't it?
Right, and that's what he told me when I interviewed him in 2010. You know, when he was the drummer who he used to develop the go-go sound, Ricky Wellman. You know, he was the one, he had gone through several drummers before he got the sound that he wanted. And Miles Davis heard their song and asked if he could have him. And Chuck said, you know, you're welcome to that. He's happy however he can help them in their career. And it's a real compliment. It was much a compliment for him.
Well, Chuck Brown passed away on Wednesday at the age of 75. He is known as the godfather of go-go, formed the style in Washington, D.C., the Chocolate City in the mid-70s. And you can read about the style and Chuck Brown in Natalie Hopkinson's forthcoming book, Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. Natalie, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
That is the late Chuck Brown, and Take Me Out to the Go-Go. Still to come, a live performance from Laura Burhan, leader of the soul pop collective The Mina Birds, and herself a Washington, D.C. native. She's up next. This is Soundcheck.
Now, this is what I need to know. And listen, ladies, y'all, are y'all tired yet? Are y'all tired yet? Well, then tell me what you feel like.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, singer, songwriter, and Washington, D.C. native. Laura Burhan was last on Soundcheck with the band Georgie James. These days, she's heading up a soul pop collective known as the Mina Birds. The group is set to release its second album called Generals in a few weeks, but we'll get a bit of a preview today. Here's Laura Burhan, solo, at our piano, with a song called Mightier Than the Sword.
You're not alone in anything. So listen up, my love. A tiny town can tear you down, but the right word can build you up. I know there is a blade names cut into your arms and open your veins, and you think there's nothing you could do. They haven't already done to you. It's hard enough in your bedroom calm to fend off the hungry birds of prey. And it's a fresh assault when the news comes on, another one gone today. You study the lines in his face. He looked just like you. Your story's the same. Is there anything I could say to make you stay?
That is Laura Burhan, leader of the band The Minor Birds, solo, unaccompanied, just her at our piano, and a version of the song Mightier Than the Sword, which will come out on the next record called Generals. Laura Burhan, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having me.
We spent the first half of the show talking about go-go music from your hometown, your native town. I know you're not living in D.C. anymore, but that's where you grew up, right?
Yes. Grew up about an hour and a half outside of D.C., but then lived in D.C. for a good 11 years.
Yeah. So the passing of Chuck Brown, the creator of go-go, That did not go unremarked or unnoticed, I guess.
Absolutely. I was actually in writing this record, there's one song called Disaster that I particularly wanted to bring some of my DC go-go roots into. And in the studio, I told Richard Swift, who produced the record, I said, I want to play a bucket on this song. And he said, a bucket? And I was like, I wanted to kind of bring in an homage to DC street go-go's.
So like one of those 5-gallon, you know, joint compound or paint buckets?
Exactly.
Right.
So he took me to the hardware store and we bought a 5-gallon bucket and I played it in the chorus of the song. He wasn't as familiar with the sound of go-go as I was, so I had a very different idea of what it was going to sound like, really, you know, heavy groove. Mm-hmm. And how it actually got mixed in is a little bit different than I had envisioned, but I think it works for the song.
But so it, not go-go, but an echo of go-go, perhaps.
Right, exactly. And it was very sad to hear that Chuck Brown had passed. It was just very sad, very sad.
Long career, and lots of people taking notice. And, you know, he's got a street named after him, so towards the end of his career, he was getting a little bit of love. This is the song that Laura was talking about. It's called Disaster. Go-go inspired tune from the forthcoming Myna Birds record, Generals. Disaster from the forthcoming album Generals by the Myna Birds. It's due out on June 5th, but Laura Burhan, the leader of the band, is with us on Soundcheck today. So that kind of smacking or clapping sound that we were hearing there, that's the bucket.
It was actually, we had to tune it because when we were playing it, it was playing a specific pitch. So in the chorus part, you hear this rhythm on a note and it's kind of going, so it turned into something that was a little more of like, it sounded more like an Indian sound to me. Or something Middle Eastern rather than go-go. So it was interesting to me once I heard that to hear maybe how the music is tied together.
So a little bit of your DC roots coming through in that song from Generals. Now, I mentioned you don't live in DC now. You're in Omaha.
Yes.
Where, against all odds, there's kind of a scene going on, an indie music scene there, a pretty vibrant one, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. DC is full, Omaha. DC is full of great people as well, of course.
Right, right.
But Omaha is full of really amazing artists and musicians, people who aren't afraid to take risks, and it's a very supportive community. I mean, it's known obviously for Connor Oberst and Bright Eyes and The Faint, bands like that, some of the original Saddle Creek bands. But there's a whole new generation of people coming up, and it's really exciting. It's an exciting time to be there.
Now, is Generals, this next record, will that be on the Saddle Creek label?
Yes.
Yeah. Where does the name for the band, the Myna Birds, come from?
Oh, funny. It's a funny story. Well, I had always said that I wanted to make a record that sounded like Neil Young doing Motown. And so when I finished the first record with Richard Swift, What We Lose in the Fire, We Gain in the Flood, I said, I think we got pretty close. It feels kind of like Neil Young doing Motown. And I had to find a name for the band. And long story short, I came across the name The Myna Birds. And I thought, I like that, The Myna Birds. It could work. And I decided to Google it to see if it was already taken. And lo and behold, there was a band called The Myna Birds, spelled M-Y-N-A-H, Birds. And it was Neil Young, Rick James, a ton of amazing other musicians who went on to have some very notable careers. They were signed to Motown.
Wow.
So there you go. I thought it was fated.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So The Myna Birds' forthcoming album is called Generals. Now, I hesitate to sort of put the concept album label on things, but were you thinking, is there kind of a through composition, a kind of a thread through all of the songs?
It very much is a concept album. I wanted it to tell a story. It starts in one place and ends in quite another. The name comes from a Richard Avedon photo called Generals of the Daughters of the American Revolution. And I really started thinking about revolutionary women, some things that are happening in the world and in politics and things like that that are disconcerting, to say the least. Mm. And I thought I really wanted to make a protest record, but I didn't want it to just be angry. I didn't want it to just be shouting about what's wrong. I wanted it to be discovering what's right. And so I wanted the story to be transformative in the sense. And so I think the character or the consciousness that's going through the story is experiencing this transformation.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the title track. The album is called Generals from the Minor Birds. It's due on June 5th. The Minor Birds, led by singer-songwriter Laura Burhan, who's with me on Soundcheck. That's the title track from their forthcoming record called Generals, which is out on June 5th. And in addition, Laura, to the songs, there's a photo project. I mean, this was inspired, you said, by a Richard Avedon photo, which you saw in D.C., right?
Yes.
Yeah, so now you've got your own photo project, which involves some pretty well-known people. I mean, Roseanne Cash, the woman from Titus Andronicus, Amy Klein from Titus Andronicus.
Yes.
What's the idea behind the photo website?
Well, when I went to make the album art, I thought I wanted to have photos, these beautiful Avedon-style stark photos of women who are kind of revolutionaries in their own right. Some of them are making headlines. They're well-known, like Roseanne Cash, like you said. And some of them are just getting started. Some of them are mothers who've committed to raising their children right in a way that's perhaps outside of the norm. And I really wanted to pay tribute to that. So that's the project. That's what we started. It's a nominative project. And it's growing slowly but surely. It's called The New Revolutionist. And
there's a link to it. You can find it on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, and a link to the Minor Birds website as well. You wanna go back to the piano, play another song for
us?
I'd
love to.
All right, which one is this?
This is a song called Buffalo Flower, and it's sort of it's very much related to the New Revolutionist Project and to the women in the plains who inspire me every day.
All right. We're speaking with and listening to Laura Burhan from the Minor Birds. The band is performing in June when the album comes out. Laura will be here in New York on Sunday night with the 78 Project, whom we heard on the show yesterday, performing at City Winery on Sunday. Then the full band, the Minor Birds, playing in Detroit at the Magic Stick on June 19th. Back here in New York at the Mercury Lounge on June 22nd, here's Laura Burhan at our piano with Buffalo Soldier, Buffalo Flower.
Sand, loose all the black of the souls buried there, forgive every man. Moving uptown, gonna clear the air. Moving uptown, then we go. my queen of the plains. When the bully winds push on your shoulder, you show them who's king. Oh, the man of the hour is another pretty young buck, pinstripes and a tongue like a fresh cut flower. Promise is short to wither up. Oh, my man, your hour's up. So we'll march up out the road, out the valley, and build a town tall at the top of the hill. We don't start one foot in front of the other, we never will. I can't change the weather, but we sure can change our shoes. Can't change what we weather, but we can change what we do. Buffalo fly. My queen of the plains. When the bully winds push on your shoulder, you show them who's king. Gonna do what I can, right where I stand. I'm gonna do what I can. Gonna do what I can. Right where I stand, I'm gonna do what I can. Oh, 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 oh.
That is Laura Burhan of the Mina Birds, live, solo, at Our Piano, and a song from the forthcoming Mina Birds record called Generals. That is called Buffalo Flower. Laura, let me apologize to you in advance for all the other radio people who will see Buffalo Flower and Generals and slip up and say Buffalo Soldier, as I did.
It's meant to be connected. Subconsciously, sure.
Okay. Well, I made it very conscious. But yeah, there's a kind of, you know, as you say in the song, can't change the weather, but we can change our shoes. That idea of, you know, let's get together, let's build something, let's do something. Speaking of building or making things, I'm looking at the photo of you on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, and you are wearing some sort of animal on your head.
It's actually not a real animal.
Oh, okay.
It is a wolf headdress, and it's made all out of felt and silk
really?
Thread and glass.
So no animals harmed in the making of your headgear.
Absolutely. This amazing... amazing artist from Boston named Erin Shaw. She made that headdress, and she's made me a fox headdress that I wear in the live show. So,
all right. Well, you can see that photo on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, where you find a link to the Mina Birds website and the new revolutionist photo project that goes with it. Laura, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck today. Look forward to the new record on June 5th.
Thank you so much.
And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today on Monday. A lot of us have one song that we just can't stop listening to. The evidence is right there in your iTunes. We'll talk with a writer and a neuroscientist about musical fixation, and we'll ask you to share the object of your musical obsession. Plus, violist and fiddler Garth Knox plays live on the show. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn with Marlon Bishop. See what they did there? They moved Katie Bishop's name away from Marlon Bishop's so they wouldn't have to write one of their corny, not related jokes. I detect the fine hand of senior producer Joel Meyer, or perhaps intern Crystal Kim. But not me. I'm John Schaefer. Have a great weekend. Be with us Monday for another Soundcheck.